important things today. I don't know, have y'all been looking around at the news lately? Seems kind of like the world's in turmoil, doesn't it? Well, we need a little bit of peace in troubled times. Amen. We need a little bit of a resting place. And by the grace of God, by the end of the sermon today, you're going to find a place at the foot of the cross where you can bring your burdens and lay them down. Hopefully, by the grace of God, by the end of this sermon, you'll know that God loves you. He loves you right where you're at. His heart beats for you. And His compassion, oh, it's never ending. Every time I find that I've let the Lord down, He's still there. Every time that I find that I've given way to the desires of the flesh, God says, I still love you. If you'll just turn to me, I'll meet you where you're at. I know you're a sinner, and I love you, even though you are. By the end of this sermon, where by the grace of God, we'll get there. But I want to let you know before we get there where we're going. Amen. Because the beginning of this sermon might be a little bit hard to understand. As I was going, well, what kind of got me into this thing earlier this week is praying, reading the Bible, and looking at the end time scenarios. And Paul warned several times in the to Timothy and in Romans, and actually almost through all of the Pauline epistles, that in the last days, troubled times would come. In fact, even Jesus, our Christ, He said that as we get closer to His coming again, when we get closer to the end times, things will wax worse and worse. But even in the midst of all that stuff going crazy, or what looks crazy to us, God is still in control. He told us all these things. He reminded us what it would look like so that when the time came, we wouldn't lose heart. We wouldn't lose faith. We would keep our eyes focused on the goal, the high calling of Christ, that we would keep our heart and our minds set on the things above, not on the things of this earth. And as I was going through that and praying through that and asking God, what in the world is going on? He had me do a little research. I like research. Research is a good thing. Amen. And He had me go back and look at the history, the real history of America. Because, you know, and I'm not that I'm not worried about the rest of the world, but I don't live in the rest of the world. God had me born right here in America. Now, I am an American. Amen. And so really, not that I'm not concerned about India and Africa and all that, all those people over there. But this is where I live. This is where I eat. This is where I work. This is where my hands are, you know. And so I said, God, how did we get in such a mess? What happened? Because I know that when we started, when the Puritans came across, when the original people came from Europe, they were seeking a place to worship God. They were looking. I think my volume needs to be fixed there a little bit. Here's some reverb squeaking. And so Paul reminded us that in the end times that there will be troubled times. Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Before we get into that, let me go to the Lord and ask a blessing. Father, I thank You for Your goodness and grace. Lord, I ask even now, Lord Jesus, that Your word, that Your might would go out through this place. Father, that we could find that resting place in You, Lord, that we could find our hope, not in the situations, not in where we are, but where we came from, Lord, where the beginning of faith started, Lord Jesus, where we had that first true love. Lord God, I pray that You would move mightily in Your people to the folks within the sound of my voice, Lord, that they would hear what the Spirit says to the church. And we come now, Father, with an open heart and ears attentive to hear Your word, Lord God. Fill us, feed us, give us a taste of the living water that flows from the very throne of God. And we thank You and we praise You for those things. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Paul wrote to Timothy thousands of years ago. And he gave a picture of the things, how things would turn leading up to the latter times. And he says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Actually, 1 Timothy chapter 4. Read the whole thing, but I'm only going to work on a couple of verses here. Paul said to Timothy, "The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to the seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. They'll be speaking lies and hypocrisy, and they had their conscience seared as with a hot iron." I'm afraid that America right now has our conscience seared. We've stopped looking for the good of things. We're so, with Facebook and Twitter and all the news broadcasts and all those things that are out there. I could ask some of the girls some of the new things that are on the internet. I really don't know what to call them. But I know the more I look into them, the more decrepit things appear, right? When you look into Facebook, I don't hear very much good news on Facebook. And so I don't go on it very much. The Twitter things that are out there, I don't see anything good on Twitter. I don't see anything good on CNN or Fox News or anywhere that we're getting our information. If we just look at what's going on the surface, things look pretty bleak, wouldn't you say? Hey, we even have football players that won't even stand for the national anthem now. What happened? What happened to us? What happened to one nation under God, undividable, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all? What happened to us? How could we have started so well and ended up this way? We missed something. So that's what got me thinking about some history things. So I got out my computer, all right. Well, it's not a computer, really. It's an iPod, something that makes you look up stuff quickly, Googling it. And so I was looking through some things, and I found out some things. This knowing about the preaching of Jesus Christ, this knowing about how America started, And decisions that are made have consequences. And knowing those things, we kind of look out. The Bible, let me back up to my notes here. I got ahead of myself. We, having this knowledge, ought not be shocked when the Bible preaching and Jesus teaching churches are in a great decline in this nation. Lawlessness appears to be abounding on every side. The conscience of the people of America or of the world seems to have been seared, cauterized, burnt shut from the holiness that the Word of God has called us to. We who are the people of God, we who are supposed to be holy and set apart, have left the basic teachings of honoring God and loving one another with the fullness of our heart. What is the two great commandments that Jesus said that we had to follow? And if we followed those two, all the rest of them would be taken care of. Love the Lord God supremely, right? Love God more than anything else. And then love your neighbor as yourself. If you do these two things, if you do that, then you have completed the fullness of the law. See, if I'm loving you the way that I'm supposed to, that means I'm not doing bad things to you. I'm not thinking evil about you. I'm thinking of ways to lift you up, to ways to make you better, of ways to benefit you and not to curse you, you know? And if I'm loving God the way that I'm supposed to be loving God, then I would be seeking the best of this life to serve Him. How do I serve God in this world, in this time? I serve it by doing it unto the least of these, right? I go to where the hurting is and I give them help. I go to where the thirsty is and I give them drink. I find out who is hungry and who's in need, and we feed them in the middle of where they are. I don't know what the world, what everybody needs, but I know what people around me need. And if everybody would tend to the things that are in need, to those folks who are closest to them, to their families, to their neighbors, right? You don't have to go across the oceans to be a missionary, right? You can be a missionary in your own backyard. You can show the love of Christ to the least of these right here in Caledonia. You ain't got to go far. There's a lot of need here, and Jesus asked us to do that. He asked us to reach out into those places, into those people, to reach out and show the righteousness of God. So where did things turn around in America? Well, just looking at the history of America, it seems that the beginning would start really falling apart around the 1830s. That's just 187 years ago. In 1830, false doctrines really started to permeate in the church. And not that I'm picking on any religions or nothing like that, but these are just some facts, okay? They're just facts. The Mormon religions, the Book of Mormon was published for the first time in 1830. After that, there was a holiness movement that was in 1867. Now, just before, I guess I got to back up a little bit. After 1830, there was 1859. Anybody remember what happened there? Darwin put his Origin of Species became publicated, and it was started being permeated through the schools and things like that. We started stop teaching. We started not teaching the Genesis account and started teaching Darwinism in our schools. So our children's minds started being changed from truly trusting this word and started trusting other things that were in the world. So, if you'll give me your children, I can change a nation, is what one of the communist leaders said. So anyhow, in 1859 that happened. In 1867 there was a holiness movement, which by 1901 became the Pentecostal movement that said that you had to speak in tongues to be saved. It started turning into works more and more in the church. Even the Jehovah's Witnesses in 1870 started their doctrine, started preaching the light tower. Shortly after that, by 1914, the Assemblies of God began. And not that I'm saying that they're bad people. We're all bad people. Amen. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But these doctrines that they started teaching, they started moving away from the grace and the goodness of God. And they started moving toward works. You've got to earn your salvation. You've got to, as a Mormon would say, you've got to ride your bicycle and talk to people. You've got to hand out certain doctrine. And the more you work, the higher you gain in this scale. Same thing with the Pentecostal religion. Same thing with the Jehovah's Witness. The more that you go out, the better you are with God. But the Bible doesn't say that. It tells you that by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. But see, the human nature, the way that we are, we want to do something, right? Nobody wants a handout. But that's what Jesus came to do. He put his hand out. He told us in the book of Isaiah, "Is my arm so short that I am unable to save?" Well, he was sticking his hand out. It tells us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for our sin. Right? Jesus, God, putting his hand out, wanting to reach you in the middle of where you are. He said, "I love you so much. I know that you cannot be good enough. There's not enough good work on the earth to make you right with me. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to send my son. I'm going to send myself in flesh for you." Because you can't tempt God. He's spirit and he cannot be tempted, nor does he tempt any man with evil. So he came in human form to live amongst us. And he did it so that we would know that we have a high priest in heaven that has been tempted in every way like us, and yet without sin. Isn't that good news? When I was doing this, my mind was a little bit more energetic, but I just don't have the oomph to do it. So anyhow, I feel like I'm an old horse dragging you through. But God has called us. So we see some of the downfalls and what had started just 187 years ago to where we are. Moving forward, and let's go back to when America was really good. Amen. You know, there was a time that this nation truly believed the fullness of the Word of God. You know, slavery was never supposed to be a part of this America. When the reformers came here, the Dutch Reformed Church in 1623, their doctrine was that every man was free. You were free to worship God, not just any God, but the God of the Bible. And if you wanted to worship Him one way or another, you worshiping the way that the Bible said, and you were good with God. You loved people, you loved God, and you gave the fullness of your heart to others. And God saw what the people were coming here to do. Not to have a religion that was run by the government, but to have a relationship that was run by God. And these reformers, the first pilgrims that came to America, way back in the 1600s, it was wonderful. It was wonderful what God had set them out to do and the way that He had called them to be holy and just and set apart for them a place to really worship the Lord. When they first came, there were no problems with the Indians. You know that? The Dutch reformers that came here, they had peace with the Indians. They lived together. The Indians cared for them, and they cared for the indigenous people that were here. But something started happening shortly after that. Greed started coming in. The Europeans started finding out that there was great wealth in this land to be had. And so they started setting up other work camps coming into America. And so from the 1600s to the 1800s, we really stopped leaning into the fullness and the holiness of God. But once we started to move away just a little bit from the 1600s to the 1800s, that's like 200 years of solidness, right? Then from 1800 to 1830, something really started happening in America. Socialism started coming in. Communism started coming in. In 1830 was the first time that the government set schools to teach teachers how to teach students. Did you know that? 1830, that was the first time that that happened. 1830 was a lot of things happened in America in 1830. Things started separating immensely in our nation. So God let us know that these things were going to happen. Amen. And so the further we started moving, or once we started moving away from God, things really started increasingly go bad, worse and worse. By the 1920s, debauchery, remember the Roaring Twenties? They were not really good years for the nation. I mean, we started really moving away from holiness and righteousness and living and loving the way that we're supposed to. We remember y'all probably don't. I don't remember. I wasn't there. But I've seen pictures of the Roaring Twenties. Alcoholism was at its peak in America. The little houses where you'd go for relationships with people that you weren't married to really started becoming out of the closet and onto the streets. The whole jitterbug people. No, that's in the 60s. But anyhow, I can't remember all the dances. As you can tell, my mind is not quite where it needs to be this morning. So please forgive me. But in the 1920s, we really started seeing a turn in the nation as a whole. Debauchery started taking a hold of this nation. But God, still loving us, tried to call us back. By the 1930s, 1929, there was a stock market crash, which caused a great revival in America and in the Christian world. When folks ran out of their riches and their wealth in the 20s, they turned back to Jesus Christ, and it started a revival and awakening in America, which lasted for all the way up until, say the 1950s, which is not that long. In the 1950s, you started seeing us really moving away from the righteousness of God. Remember, it started in 1830, just a little crack. By 1920, it was a pretty big hole. By 1950, you know, the Fonzie era, you know, rebellion truly started taking hold in America. By the 1960s, and I remember these well, 1950s and 60s, rebellion and drug, sex, and rock and roll took America by storm. All of a sudden, it wasn't a shame to sin anymore. In fact, it became celebrated in America, in the streets, in the schools, all the way around. And then once that really started happening, you started seeing sexual diseases exploding on the scene. After that, unwanted children or women becoming pregnant because of their promiscuity. And then abortion became popular, and we started murdering children by the thousands every year. Then the decay of the family, because if you can't be with the one you love, then love the one you're with. Y'all remember that song? That became the movement of America. But we shouldn't have been taken surprised by all that, because God told us that in the last days, perilous times would come. He told us that the closer we move toward the end of time as we know it, that things would start unfolding rapidly. The whole reason that things were unfolding, if you'll turn to your open your Bibles in Romans chapter 1, verses 21 through 25, God gives a great, He shows us why we move away from God. Say amen when you get there, Romans chapter 1, verse 21, because I don't want you to think this is just out of my own mind, that this is God's Word. He says in Romans chapter 1, verse 21 and following, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful. But they became vain in their own imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened, or was darkened. Verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image like unto corruptible man and birds and four-footed beast and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie. And they worshipped and they served the creature more than their Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. See, once a nation started turning away from God, once we started moving away from the foundations of Jesus Christ, who here knows anything about carpentry? I'll bring this back to the world a little bit. Amen. If you have a good, solid foundation, a good concrete slab to build something on, you can build something pretty tall, can't you? And it stands pretty well. But so you start building here on this foundation, but all of a sudden you start building off of the foundation over here. You got up so high, you started building off. What happens? What happens to that building? Can it stand? Is it physically able to put up with the weight that you put on it? Well, the more you build off of the foundation, the less likely you are to stand. And so Jesus, Paul, through the power of the Holy Spirit, said that once mankind starts after they knew God, because America was founded on the gospel of Jesus Christ, after they knew God, they didn't glorify Him as God any longer. Do you see that in America today? Are we really glorifying God as God? I mean, in most of the churches today, pastors are afraid of their congregations. They're afraid to truly preach the word, to say hard things that would cause people to come back in repentance. But remember in Romans, it was talking this very simple thing. They didn't glorify Him as God. Neither were they thankful. Have you ever seen a more unthankful generation than what we have right now? Multi-million dollar football players refusing to give honor to men who died for their country, who died for them to play this stupid game, to push a leather ball back and forth and pays them millions of dollars for it. Unthankful, ungratitude. How about children being unthankful to their parents? Amen. You see a lot of that today? A lot of unthankfulness. How about parents sending their kids to college and so unthankful for the education that they get? Do you see that? Antifa? Ring a bell to you? There's a lot of ungodly, nasty things happening because we have moved away from the very basic teachings of Jesus. We became vain in our imaginations and foolish. Our foolish heart is becoming darkened. We profess to be wise. You go to these higher education places, they think they're smart guys. They're professors. They have years and years and years of education. Smart. They know where all the silent letters are hid, right? They know all of the tricks to math and all that kind of stuff. But they're fools because they're denying the one true God that gave them the intelligence to go to do things, to calculate these things. They started worshiping the creature instead of the Creator. Don't you see that happening across America today? I do. I see it on almost every place that I turn. People will worship anything except for Jesus Christ. In fact, it's getting to so that you can't even name or proclaim the name of Jesus Christ unless you're in a safe place on one of these college campuses. We're worshiping four-footed beasts and creeping things. Amen. Have you noticed that? How about the tree huggers out there? You know, let's kill the lumberjack to save the owl, right? Things are wrong. Don't get me wrong. We ought to take care of the land that we have. We ought to be responsible with the bounty that God has given us. But we shouldn't love the creature more than we love the Creator. And often it's happening. And then God says, once you do that, He gives you over. He gives you up to an unclean mind, doing things that are unlawful in your own bodies. Do you see that happening in America? Aren't we doing things that are... When did it become okay for a young man or a young woman to be born into their gender and now you're not allowed to call them a male or a female? There's 96 different gender specifications. How do you get to that? If you don't know what gender you are, when you take a shower tonight, take a look. That's what you are. Amen. That's what you are. It's not the way you feel. See, God gave us over to our feelings, and when we went to our feelings, we started saying all kinds of crazy stuff. I feel like a cow today. All right. So I'm going to be a cow today. I feel like an ostrich, so I'm going to go stick my head in the sand. You know, whatever, you know. But that's really not who you are. God created you. Talking about the end times again in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 and following. Paul says to Timothy, know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Now, look at the list of things that he lays out here. If you don't believe this is in the Bible, you can open your Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Perilous times shall come. And we talked about that a little bit. Excuse me. For men shall be lovers of themselves. How about that in America? Are we love ourselves pretty much, don't we? You'll be lovers of yourselves. All right. You'll be covetous. You'll be boasters and proud and blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, which means uncontrolled or unrestrained. That's what incontinent means. Fierce, despisers of those things which are good. Betrayers and high-minded, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. A lot of folks going to church having a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. From such, turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead silly women laden with sins away in diverse lust. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. When you go through that list of things, does that remind you of the 6 o'clock news? Somewhat? Doesn't that remind you of the things that you're seeing everywhere around you? That you're seeing that we're living in these times? How about people who are lovers of themselves or covetousness? Covetous. Do you know what covetous is? That means I want what you have. I want your wealth. I want your stuff. I don't want to work for my own. I want what you work for. All right. That's covetous. Give it to me. I didn't earn it. Boasters and proud. How many people, and just looking at any of the things that are going on, and are we not a boastful and proud and arrogant people? You make a touchdown. right? You hit a home run. Yeah, I hit a home run. All right, I run faster than somebody else. Zippity-doo-dah. I planted more corn than anybody else in America. Ooh, look at me, I'm so great. No, you're not. Get a grip on yourself. You're not that great. Without God, you couldn't have done none of those things. Without America, you couldn't have done none of those things. Without natural affection, I have never seen it in my lifetime, and I've lived a few years, I have never seen it in my lifetime where parents, mothers are murdering their children. Have you ever in your days ever seen this? I mean, in this scale over the last few years, I mean, moms have always loved their kids, right? I'm not talking about abortions. I'm talking about mothers with 4, 5, 6-year-old children putting them in cars and driving them into lakes. Folks, something is wrong. Natural affection is not happening. We've moved so far away from the foundation of Jesus Christ that anything goes nowadays. Anything goes. These are perilous times, folks. And it may sound like I haven't given you much hope, but we're about ready to turn the page. Amen. Things look bleak. These are times. Jesus even warned us of these times because of lawlessness. This is Matthew 24, verses 12 and 13. Because of lawlessness, that means iniquity or iniquity, lawlessness, shall abound. Because of the lawlessness is abounding in all of the earth, it shall abound. The love, the agape, the charity of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure until the end shall be saved. Now we're going to get happy, okay? I've been painting an ugly picture of the world, but we have hope in Jesus Christ. You need to start looking on how are you going to endure in times such as these. You see that our nation and the churches and the movies move us further and further away from God's Word. Oh, but if we will return to the Lord with the fullness of our heart, Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5, remember from where you have fallen and repent and do your first works. Amen. Remember where we were. Remember when things were good. Remember when you had deep, sincere love. Remember when a neighbor would really care for their neighbors. When people really, when a man would love a woman and they would stay together for life. Remember those times? It wasn't that far. You just got to go back a few years. Remember when things were sacred. When things were shameful. Do you remember when you could do something and you'd feel ashamed about it? Remember that? Why did you have that? Because you had a morality that was based on Jesus Christ. You had a morality that was based on the Word of God. You knew what right and wrong was. You knew what dark and light and darkness was. And you knew if you followed the light that He was with you and He walked with you and He prepared a way for you. Amen. And He tells us, reminds us in the book of Revelation to the church of Ephesus to return to those days. If you still can remember that, and I know some of you are young and you may not ever remember that, but go through your history books. There was a time when people generally loved one another. There was a time where we had real, true compassion. That you had real friends, not Facebook imaginary friends. Right? When you had friends that you could call up and say, hey brother, you know, I need blah, blah, blah. And guess what? They were there. Or you were walking through and you saw somebody in need and you would help that person. Right? You know, there was a time like that in America. It's very far back in my memory, but it's there. I think I'm like 56 years old now. And I think this is the last. If you were younger than that, if you're only in your 20s, you may not ever remember those days because they're that far past. But if we would remember from where we had fallen, if we would come back, move away from Darwinism and move into the Bible. If we would quit teaching our kids that they came from monkeys and that they were created in the likeness and the image of God, and that there was worth in them, that you're not an animal, that there is worth in you. God planted you. He breathed life into you and you became a living spirit. If we had that love one for another, if we had that, How many students wouldn't have to walk to school through metal detectors? If we would come back to the Bible way of doing things, how much better would America be? Finishing that verse in Revelation says He wants you to come back and do your first works. Come back to the very love. Come back to the beginning of your salvation. Jesus said, or I will come quickly and I would remove your candlestick. Repent or He will come and take your light away. See, we're groping in darkness in America because we've walked away from the love and the power of God. But my two favorite words in the whole Bible is but God. As long as you have breath in you, there's a but God. Regardless of how bad things look right now, but God can change it. If you will lean into Him with the fullness of your heart, if you will walk with Jesus, if you will suffer persecution. In 2 Timothy, finishing some of that chapter, verse 12 and 13. Yea, and all who live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers, they're going to get worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. In 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures are able to make one wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Because all of Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable. Don't you want something that's really profitable right now? With things really that really aren't profitable anywhere, right? There's nothing good outside of the Word of God, and we're starting to see that. We're starting to reap that we've sown, and it's really not tasty. Oh, but there is good. It's found in the Word of God. All Scripture is given for instruction, inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. See, that's what we need in the church. That's what we need in our lives is correction. Because in 1830, we started going away. 187 years ago, we started moving away from the Word of God. And anybody knows that if something is going straight and you start moving away, after a while, you continually move that way unless you make a correction in your path. Like if the great ships that go across the Atlantic, they start in one port, but if they were just to go straight across because of the tides, the winds, and all the other things, you would end up not where you're supposed to go. So if you're heading from France, right, and you were going to New York, you'd take off, but the currents of the ocean would drive you and bring you closer to South America than it would to North America, right? You know that, don't you? You can look on the internet, it'll show you. But anyhow, so what do you got to do? You get in your boat and you go out. All right, I need to make a correction here because I'm the current of the world is driving me away. So I got to make a correction to get back to my destination. Church, we need to start making some corrections in our personal lives. Because we're going further and further away. So how do we get back? Well, we have the roadmap. We know what the current of the world is doing because it told us in 1st and 2nd Timothy that the end times it would be perilous and would be going further and further and further away from the Word of God. But if you come back to the Bible, if you come back to the Word of God, you start reading it. Now, some of y'all maybe haven't read your Bibles in a very long time. And some of you read them every day. If you read it every day, then study your Bible. Amen. But if you've not read your Bible in a long time, just read it. Okay? Don't worry about studying and trying to get the deep things out of it. Jesus loves me, this I know, because the Bible told me so. Okay? Start with something like that. Start with something simple because you haven't been eating strong meat for a long time. And you might need a little bit of milk. All right, so start sipping on that milk till you get a good mouthful. So you start getting some fat, all right, some Bible fat on you. Then move to the stronger meat. But start by reading your Bible. Start by reading the book of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. And all things that were made by Him. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. And then all the way in verse 14, then that Word, it became flesh. And John, the author of the book, said, I beheld the glory of the only begotten Son of God. That's how you do it. You start with the simple things and you read them and you start setting your life on them. You come back to the Scripture, to the Word of God, and you start making adjustments in your life, because this sermon is not going to fix you. Sermon ain't going to fix me. Me standing up here and talking for an hour or 2 hours, because I'm not through yet. No, it won't last that long. That's our eyes. 2 hours? No. It's not going to fix you. My talking to you isn't going to help you. You need the Holy Spirit. You need faith that only comes through the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and that by the Word. Amen? So how do you get the Word? Well, here's something that might be different. Instead of taking your Bible and closing it when you get home and leaving it on your counter all week, right? How many folks do that? Right? Oh, I got a Bible and I know where it is because when I move it, there's a dust ring where it was. If that's where your Bible is, stop. Pick it up. Dust it off. Open it up. Read what it has for you. And then you know what's going to happen? The Holy Spirit's going to start speaking to you. And He's going to start calling you with cords of love. He's going to say, come back to Me. I made you in My likeness. And Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Guess what? This nation is lost because we've turned away from this book. We've turned away from the Holy Scriptures of God. We've turned away from the deep love and compassion that the Lord has. And let me tell you, the Republican Party is not going to help you with this. The Democrat Party is not going to help you with that. The Socialist Progressive Party is not going to help you with this. You need to have a party with the Holy Ghost. You need to have a party with Jesus. You need to have a party with the Word of God. And let God's Word adjust your life to what righteousness is. Because if I listen to the righteousness of man, I will follow my heart. And the Bible tells me that my heart is wicked. Wicked. You know that who here has ever been told to follow your heart? You've been told a lie. Do not follow your heart, because your heart's going to lead you to the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the flesh is going to lead you to hell. Follow the Word. Amen. Because if I followed my heart, I would have never ate asparagus. You know that? Because my heart said, don't eat that stuff. Man, it smells bad. Don't eat that. Oh, so my heart was telling me all this good stuff. I'd never eat Brussels sprouts, right? I'd never eat anything good for me. If I would have followed my heart, I would have lived off Snickers bars my whole life. Because that's good. My heart said, eat Snickers bars. They are good for you. You know? That's what my heart says. But the Word of God says, no. Take of Me. Take of the living Word. Take of the Bible. Live off of that. And that will make you grow in grace. It'll make you grow in the fruit of the Spirit and joy, love, peace, patience, goodness, godliness. Amen. All of that comes from the Word. It doesn't come from my flesh. My flesh says, go away from that stuff because it's like Brussels sprouts. May not taste good, but it sure makes you grow. It may seem that the times that we're living in are really bleak, but it is the truth of these times that God had us born for this time that you're in. You could have been born 1,000 years ago and not had to worry about none of this or not very much of this. But God had you born in this time. God had you born right now in this amount of turmoil that you could glorify Him in everything you say and do. He had you born in a time where most pulpits don't preach the Word of God. They'll give you their idea, but they won't open the Bible and say, thus saith the Lord. They won't tell you that Jesus said He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man goes to the Father but through Him. They'll tell you, do good works. Just do some good works. Go knock on some more doors. Now, I'm not saying that good works don't happen, but good works don't make me closer with God. What makes me closer with God is He loves me. And the more I understand that He loves me, the closer I get to Him. The more I adjust my life to His will. And even though the times seem bleak that we live in, we have a God who absolutely loves us. In Isaiah chapter 26, verse 1, the latter part of the verse says, we have a strong city. Amen? You got a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for the walls and the bulwarks. Verse 2, open ye the gates that the righteous nation, the righteous people, which keep the truth may enter therein. Thou wilt keep him, that person, in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. How are we going to be able to stand in this wicked day? Through God. He is our strong city. I tell you what, I can't make it long outside of this group. Okay? If I'm by myself, right, I'm a dog. I am. And I'll go back to my vomit immediately. I need you guys. All right. I need you. I need the body of Christ. I need the Word of God. I need the Holy Spirit. And I must come for a refreshing drink often, all the time in my personal time. I need, the more I recognize myself, the more I recognize that I need Jesus Christ in this life. Right. And the only way I can get more of Jesus Christ is to get deeper into His Word and to really believe what His Word says, because He is our strong city. He is the walls that surround us. He is our shield. He is our buckler. He will open the gates to the righteous nation, to the people who really want Him. He will open the gates. All you got to do is say, Lord, I'm tired of having it my way. I'm tired of living at Burger King. Right? I don't want it my way anymore. I want it Yahweh. I want it the way of God. I want it the way of the Bible. I want it the way of peace. Because my way is full of turmoil and unrest and unpleasantness. But Jesus, but God manifested in flesh, has a place for you. Jesus told His disciples in John chapter 4, let not your heart be troubled. Amen. Times are bad. He was about ready to go to the cross. Okay. He was about ready to be crucified for the sin of the world. And He said, listen, guys, don't worry about, don't sweat the small stuff. I got this. I got this. I can handle this. Not only can I handle it for me, but I'm going to handle it for you. I am going to die on a cross in a couple of days. They're going to bury me in a tomb. I'm going to stay there for 3 days. Then I'm coming out of the tomb. And then I'm going to walk on the earth, and over 500 people are going to see me at one time. And then I'm going to go to the Father, and I'm going to seat at His right hand. And once I go, I'm going to send you the Comforter. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit that will live with you and guide you and be your God. And if you will listen to Him, He will lead you into most of the truth. No, He will lead you into all truth. Amen. What America needs today is a little bit of truth. Truth of the Word, truth of the Spirit, truth of love, truth of grace and mercy and kindness. See, when you have that truth living in you, when you know that you trust in the Lord, He is your Lord forever, the Lord God Jehovah, He is our everlasting strength, then we can fully lean into Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28 says that all things work together for good. This craziness that we're living in is going to work together for good, for good to them that love God. It'll only work out together if you love God and to them who are called according to His purpose. I believe that the Holy Spirit's calling some of you right now. He's talking to you. And He's saying, I know where you're at. I know that you've moved away from your first love, and I want you back. I want you back bad enough that I have sent the Holy Spirit to guide you into all truth. I want you to love me. I want you to want me. I need you to need me. No, that's a song. I'm sorry. Never take NyQuil before you preach or DayQuil. Yeah, as it happens to you. God wants us to live in a righteousness. He tells us to, in Deuteronomy 31 and Hebrews chapter 13, He says, "Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid, for the Lord thy God, it is He that doeth good with thee. He will not fail nor forsake thee." Do you know that? Do good. Be of good courage. Be strong in these times of darkness. Be strong because America has moved away from the foundation of God. You, the remnant of God. You, the remnant, the church. You who truly trust Jesus Christ. You guys, be of good courage. Yeah, it looks bleak, but God is still in control. That's why He told us 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. That's why He told us to look around us. That's why Jesus said to hold on to the truth of His coming. Hold on to His truth. Jesus' last words to His disciples that were recorded in Matthew chapter 28. He said, "Go and teach to observe all things whatsoever I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." You are not orphaned by God. He has not left you. He has not left this nation yet. He's not left you. He's not left the church. The church has walked away from the righteousness of God. God hasn't walked away from His righteousness to you. And He's saying, if you will repent, if you will return, then I will receive you. I have a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will call you to be with me. Where I am, you can be there too. Amen. God wants you to be with Him. Jesus wants you to know Him. John 17:3, this is eternal life, that they know the Father and the Son whom Thou hast sent. That's eternal life, to know God. How do you get to know God and His Son? Through the Word. I can tell it to you, but you ain't going to get it. Amen. I can't make you do it, but if you'll open your Bibles, if you will spend time with Jesus Christ, He will meet you there in the still, quiet place of your room, in the still, quiet place of your... Who here listens to the radio when they drive? Amen. Have you ever tried to turn that thing off and just listen to God? I took the fuse out of my radio. I don't even have one anymore. That means I don't have a clock in my truck. But I don't even turn it on. I don't even turn it on. I would rather be with Jesus than with the music, than with the news. Yeah, I tell you, find that still, quiet place and get back to Jesus. Find that place. He's been waiting for you there. He remembers when you were a child and you met Him underneath the tree. You met Him on your swing set. You met Him somewhere off somewhere. You met Him when I met Him with stripes on my back. And I called to Jesus that first time. He's been waiting for me there. When things seem horrible and you can't grab a hold of stuff, when you don't understand, you can't wrap your heart and your mind around it, if you call to Jesus, oh, He is there. He's right in the middle of you. And He wants you to know Him and His great love that He has for you. And when you come to know that, John 3:16 all of a sudden comes alive. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Oh, how He loves you and me. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, oh, how I thank You. I thank You, Lord God, that we were born in such a time as this. that we were born again in such a time as this, that we could proclaim the acceptable day of the Lord, that we could proclaim that your love and your grace is still alive in the midst of the turmoil that we see in the world, that we can know that we have a hope, that we have a place, Father, that we have a place in Christ, the Lord Jesus, that was prepared for us. Oh, thank you, Father, for the great love in which you have loved us. Lord, I pray that you have sent your Holy Spirit today, that you have talked to people today, Lord, and that you will encourage us, your body, to return to that first love. Not to be overtaken by the tides of the world, but that we would be a strong city, wrapped and walled by the grace and the might of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you and we praise you for those things in Jesus' marvelous name. Amen. Amen. And somebody needs